Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Loud up, what do you got?
I can't get enough of Bad Bunny. So yesterday I told you guys that he's dropping a new album, but we just found out that he's also going to be a superhero in a new Marvel movie.
Yeah, I heard.
El Muerto, which is a standalone Marvel movie for Sony Pictures. El Muerto is linked to the Spider-Man comics, and it debuted in 2006. My graduation year, just throwing it out there. It is scheduled to be released January 12, 2024. I'm a huge Marvel person. I'm a huge Bad Bunny person. I'm all about Latinos being superheroes, so I am all for this one.
I am too. I think it's cool. Like, we've talked about this a lot over the years. There's not, you know, I know they did the Spider-Man. What was the character's name? Miles Morales, mm-hmm. right? They did
That's
that.
That's a good
for
one,
a
too. Yeah.
But there hasn't been a ton of Latino superhero characters, which is kind of cool that there is one now, or going to be more, I guess. So
I heard John
Bad
Ireland
Bunny
earlier.
A superhero, though, is interesting.
I heard Ireland earlier say, he goes,
he didn't realize Bad Bunny was
He goes,
Latino,
I didn't know yeah. Bad Bunny was Latino.
Yeah.
And I thought,
and
well,
I can't believe none of them could guess that. I mean, Briona's new, obviously, but that they didn't know where he was from. They literally named a bunch of different countries, and it was just like,
you know where he's from, right, Cap?
Nope, I don't. Where's he from?
Puerto Rico.
Oh, see, muy bien.
Boricua.
Es un boricua.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, though, because when Ireland said it, I was like, well, I only know that Bad Bunny is Latino because Laura has told me a bunch of times. Other than that,
so
I
wait,
wouldn't have even known.
If you would have seen him in those Corona commercials with
Snoop
Dogg.
I didn't even know that was him. What, you're talking about the ones with Snoop?
Yes.
Yeah, I was like, who's that dude?
Conejito Malo.
Yeah, I didn't know who it was.
He literally says Bad
what's
Bunny.
But at the time, I was like, I thought that was Snoop trying to say something cool. Like, you know when Snoop will call somebody like nephew? I thought Bad Bunny was like a really cool Snoop term. Like, yo, what's up, Bad Bunny? And I was like okay.
A term of endearment?
Yeah, like, I'm going to start using that. Like, wow. What's up, my Bad Bunny?
No.
It's so stupid.
No.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I didn't know.
Although, completely plausible, I would say.
Yeah.
Lindsay.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, that sounds like something you do, Cap. That's a Capism for sure.
Well, it just was funny that Ireland said the same thing today. I was like, wow. Now, I actually laughed at him.
Right, but here's the thing. Ireland totally embraces where he's at this stage of his life as far as his age. You, on the other hand, do not.
You don't think? I mean, here I am. I'm telling you straight up. Like, I thought Bad Bunny was a term of endearment, not
right,
a real
then,
guy.
But then you want to be like, no, I'm young.
I am young.
See?
I'm very young. Active, contemporary.
I mean, active. We'll give you that.
Caught up to speed on all the pop culture stuff. That's me.
No, definitely not on any of that.
I don't know. I think did you hear about
if
Bad
Lindsay
Bunny's got a new
you
movie?
A pop culture quiz that she just literally found on the internet. How do you think you'd do?
Depends. If the category is 1985 to 1990,
current pop culture.
I'll actually even give you anything like 2000 and beyond. How about that? I'll give you the last 20 years.
I think I'll get a C-.
So what
on this
that
exam?
Be?
I think we should try this.
Like a 65,
70%? Yeah, Linz, go look for something. Let's do that in the next hour.
Okay. All right. Let me know what you got, Linz. I'll do my best. Now that I know that Bad Bunny's a real guy.
Yeah.
Not just something that Snoop calls
people. That's not
going
to be on the test, though.
You don't think?
Yeah.
Where is Bad Bunny from?
Yeah. I think we're past that one. Mm. That is What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. All right. So, look, man. Just to wrap up the Lakers conversation, because I do want to get to this Raiders thing. It's not that hard to be a competent franchise. Just, you got to trust. Now, this is the problem, I think, with the Lakers. You got to trust people.
Okay.
Right?
Who doesn't trust who?
It's not that who doesn't trust who. It's that their circle is too small. It's what I've been telling you. You got to bring in more smart people. And you got to trust that they're willing to do the job. And you can't have the insecurities, perhaps, of some people out there being like, oh, Maybe that person is better at this job than me. No, no, no. You can't have that. You've delineated a leader in that front office. It's clearly Rob Pelinka. Hire some people to help Rob Pelinka. That's it. It's not a job for a small group in the NBA anymore. You can't be the most glamour franchise in the sport and have some of the smallest front offices in the sport. Like, that doesn't work anymore in 2022.
Listen, if you compared the front office of the Lakers to the Rams, and I'm not about to tell you that the body count is the same.
No, of course,
in
it's football
versus basketball,
totally.
Right?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But really, when you think about it, you know, you have your head coach who has an opinion, your general manager, your assistant general manager. You've got position coaches that all break down film and study and look for the next round of talent. You've got area scouts, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you when you watch the Rams as an example, or any NFL team really for that matter, in the war room this week with the draft, you'd be like, who are all these people? Well, guess what? They've all done their homework to help create an organizational opinion about who's the best talent. The Lakers, listen, I know we've argued about this time and time again. They let LeBron, and in some ways we lump AD with him, they let LeBron have too much of an opinion. Rather than pushing back on this Russell Westbrook thing.
Fair.
Yeah,
yes.
Rather than pushing back and saying, LeBron, listen, we love you, man.
Hey, Russell Westbrook, bad idea.
Don't think it's a good idea. And let me explain why I think it's a bad idea. But you know
what
it is? Then LeBron looks over at Pelinka and he goes, yeah, but you know what, man? You were just an agent. You were a guy negotiating deals. You don't really know basketball. I know basketball, not you.
But and this is exactly why you need more people in the room.
I concur with you. Listen, you brought this up many months, well, probably a few weeks ago. And it's a really good point, which is there needs to be more opinions with more people who are really, really knowledgeable. And by the way, have a set of guts to actually be able to say, I'm not going to be intimidated by you. I'm going to tell you what I think is best for our team and our franchise, not what you want. They need to do that quickly because, George, we talk about last year going from roster to roster, and all you've got are three or four guys from one year to the next year, and now you got to fill in 10 or 12 guys on the roster?
Yep. Nope, can't do that.
They got to figure out who's going to be on this team, because if you keep changing 10 or 12 guys every year, the results are probably going to be the same, because LeBron's just getting older and Anthony Davis can't stay healthy.
You know who does that, like changes like that, like wholesale as much like that? Like, bad teams generally do that.
Right, teams that are like, we're desperate, so let's just change everything. I mean, you could probably look, I'm just giving an example, you could probably look at the Boston Celtics right now and go, if there are 13 or 14 guys on their roster, 8 or 9 of them are going to be back next year. Like, we already know, I'm using this as an example, but we know that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart and Al Horford, these guys are going to be back next year.
Yeah, teams change on the boundaries, on the fringes, let's call it. But for the, I mean, that happens a lot. And, you know, there's 15 guys, and we've had expanded rosters because of COVID or whatnot. So they've even had 17 or 18 or whatever, even in certain cases. But generally speaking, your core rotation, you try to keep those 6, 7 guys intact, like if you're a winning organization. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying you can't make a change here or there if you make a trade for better or worse or whatever. But, man, the entire planet kind of, at the same time, collectively was like, yo, Russell Westbrook, really? Like, that was kind of the reaction. And some people, including myself at least for a few games, bought into it like, eh, I guess, all right, you talked me into it. And then very quickly, we were like, oh, no, 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 no.
Well, I will say this. The fan base, I remember when Russell Westbrook, when the deal was announced for the Lakers, you would have thought that it was an automatic home run. Don't even bother with the regular season. Just put the Lakers in the finals. Like, there was a celebration amongst Lakers fans.
No, but it wasn't just the fan base. A lot of people in the media did that. We're like, oh, Nets and Lakers, here we go.
Yep. And it is. This is why I loved what happened to the Nets, because I know there's a national conversation going on right now about who was the bigger disappointment this year, the Nets or the Lakers. I would argue the Nets are the bigger disappointment, because
yes,
at least if nothing else, if I'm a Lakers fan, I can look at it and go, you know, LeBron got hurt, missed a bunch of games. AD has proven that he can't stay healthy, so he missed a bunch of games. The Westbrook thing didn't exactly work out, and he played in most every game. Fired their coach at the end of the year. Like, there's a million things that went wrong with the Lakers. With the Nets, they actually made it to the play-in and then made it in.
And most of theirs was self-inflicted.
And then got swept by Boston.
Right.
Which was a thing of beauty.
The only thing that was not self-inflicted was KD's injury where he missed the 20 games. But mm-hmm. Everything else, they can look inward at that. You know what I mean?
Like
they jettisoned James Harden, which, I mean, I don't know, may end up being the right move. I don't know. We'll see. But the whole thing was a nightmare for them. So I'm with you. If I had to pick which one was worse, it's the Nets.
Yes. I agree. And I love hearing the NBA analysts, the big name guys, Charles Barkley, Stephen A. Smith, these kinds of characters, Reggie Miller. I love hearing these guys go off on guys like Kyrie and KD and Ben Simmons, guys who are often treated with a whole bunch of like reservation. I don't want to say that about him. He's a big star. These guys have gone off on these names, and I, for one, am all for it.
I mean, that's not new, though.
No, but they're being vicious compared to years past.
When LeBron left Cleveland, I mean, that was nothing was more vicious than that.
Yeah, like, but I'm like Ben Simmons,
I mean,
when
guys
he left,
were literally like destroying him.
Yeah, but when Ben Simmons left Philadelphia,
especially all those old guys.
Yeah, but listen, when Ben Simmons left Philadelphia, there were a lot of people that were like, you know, you shouldn't really say that about him.
Well, I'll tell you this, because Ben Simmons has had a back thing. I've told you. I mean, people can say what they want. I actually blame the team yesterday because I don't think the Nets. I mean, let me ask you that. Forget about the name Ben Simmons for a second, okay? If I would tell you, just player X, his name is Scott Kaplan, okay?
Good player. Good ball player.
Yeah. Scott Kaplan has not played since June of last year, 10 months, okay? And I'm telling you, Scott Kaplan has had all sorts of health issues, some of them maybe mental health issues as well, like clearly has had mental issues as well. But if I just told you, forget about that. If I just told you Scott Kaplan hasn't played in 10 months and I'm going to insert him into game four, an elimination game in the NBA playoffs, you think that's the right place to insert him?
I've been saying to you for weeks, what do you think they're going to get from him? I mean, I never thought they were going to get anything out of him anyway.
And I kept saying, I don't know.
Right, but I do love Charles Barkley coming out and saying, yeah, your back is hurt when you're always sitting around on the bench. Like, I like that. That's vicious. I like it.
Right. I also think Charles is not as informed. I do think that, again, having covered a lot of Sixers games in my life with...
You mean where they gave you the soft pretzel when you walked in?
No, he did not. But the, Ben has had a lot of back injuries in his life. A lot.
Well, listen, all I'm saying is this, is that there is a national conversation going on today about which team had the bigger disaster of a season.
It's the Nets.
The Lakers or the Nets.
I think that's the only thing the Lakers have going for them right now.
We're not the worst.
Yeah, it wasn't the biggest disaster, in my estimation. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the audience thinks differently. 877-710-ESPN. Speaking of disaster, can the Raiders not just enjoy people giving them credit? Did they have to potentially find a way to drive their fan base insane? We'll tell you what it's all about in about 2 minutes.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Yes, indeed. Live Imaging Tuesday. Sedano and Cap.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We are family.
That's right.
Sometimes we fight around here, but
that's what families
fight.
Do.
The whole mishpucha.
Darn right.
On an all disco Tuesday. It's also National Help a Horse Day.
What?
Oh, really?
Cap, this is your day?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cap, sometimes you just need a helping hand. Help a horse.
Why not help a horse? Give a horse a hand. Why don't
exactly
you?
Exactly right.
Bring back Stable Wars.
Dude, Stable Wars was an amazing reality show. Everybody should watch it.
Is it on YouTube? Can I find it?
If you go onto YouTube and you search Stable Wars, you might find like a trailer.
Sounds exciting. We're about 15 minutes away from Radio Tinder, and the question that all of social media is wondering after yesterday's outburst by producer Lindsay about the Hill Street Blues theme is what theme song, TV classic, will we use? And will producer Lindsay be upset? Yes or no?
Well, I mean, inquiring minds are all waiting to find out. I can tell you that.
I wouldn't consider it an outburst. I just think it's not fitting. Like, I don't even know what the song is for. But, I mean, I guess if that's the bit, then sure.
That's the bit. See, I was excited today to see producer Lindsay. It's been, like, 2 weeks since we saw her. And she completely walked by me in the hallway. Didn't say a word.
Really? Wow. Didn't even look at you.
What are you talking about?
Put her hand up.
Said hello to talk to you. What are you talking about?
Don't even want
to
look at
you. Now you're just telling lies.
Ooh.
Wow.
Came
he's a liar.
For a good 5 minutes. Showed you pictures from my trip.
She did show me pictures. That was nice.
Just
but...
little, you know,
I mean, so did she talk to you or did she not talk
to you? No, at first she blew me off in the hallway. Just walked right by me.
Mm-hmm. Talk to the hand?
No, I don't recall ever seeing him in the hallway.
I don't recall.
Yeah. I definitely did not see him in the hallway.
How can you miss me?
I mean,
I
would have seen you.
Say that.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly, my point.
In the meantime, she showed you pictures from her trip, which is lovely, and it's a wonderful thing to do. But if it were me, I'd be like, Lindsay, I already saw these pictures. I was stalking you on Instagram. I don't need you to.
But you wouldn't have because I didn't post them on Instagram, Cap, so.
Oh, really? What about those nice pictures that you posted of you in the bar in Orlando?
You're such a weirdo.
What do you mean?
I did post one or two photos from, you know, I was gone for about a week, so, you know.
Right.
Here's
the
thing.
And by the way, just because she posts a couple on Instagram doesn't mean it's the one she showed Chris.
Well, I'm just saying that if she would have said to me, hey, you want to see some pictures from my trip? I'd be like, what are you talking about? I saw pictures from your trip. You posted them.
No, but see, Kev, that's not how this goes with social media. Here's the
thing.
How's
it go? Tell me.
If somebody says to you, hey, by the way, I was in Orlando all week for Walt Disney, you could say, oh, yeah, I saw something about that on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say to somebody first, oh, you were in Walt Disney World last week. I saw everything on Instagram. That seems creepy. You let them begin the engagement. Am I right or am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Is he?
I mean, I also literally posted 3 pictures.
They were lovely. It. You and your family?
So, you know.
It was nice. You in the bar?
It was the cantina, actually. It's the Star Wars cantina.
Okay.
Different than a bar.
Star Wars.
Yeah. That's not how it goes.
Yeah.
It's not? Cantina's different than a bar, really?
Well, I wasn't hanging out at the bar. It's a cantina inside of Disney World.
Yeah.
Where the whole point of it is, like, it's the themed as Star Wars.
Star Wars. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I really liked your pictures, Lindsay. I thought your trip looked great. Your family looked awesome. And it looked like Aunt Lynn's really put on quite a show.
At Lindsay Baseball on Instagram or Twitter.
It was a good time. I had a lot of fun. Especially at the cantina. Man, but that stuff is, like, hard to get into, you know?
The cantina?
Oh, yeah, because everybody wants to take pictures at the cantina and have a drink.
Well, right. The cantina band was big in back in the day, remember?
It was. But they had DJ Rex spinning at the cantina.
Oh, DJ Rex just tears it up, dude.
He's a droid, which I'm sure you probably didn't know that, Cap.
No, I thought DJ Rex was a guy.
DJ Rex is a droid who's in one of the movies. So.
Oh, he's not a guy? He's not a real dude? Not a real guy with, like, one headphone on one ear while he's leaning on his shoulder and he's kind of spinning.
But he's
up.
A droid.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's a robot.
Yeah. Got it.
Totally love to do that. Like, I know Marcellus Wiley did that. He was like a DJ for a minute.
He was.
He might still be.
That dude.
That dude. That's right.
He was that dude. DJ that dude. Yeah.
So, get this, Cap. Since we're always teasing you about my show.
Yeah.
Oh. Keyshawn posted a picture over the weekend from Marcellus's wife's birthday.
Keyshawn did or you did?
Keyshawn did.
No, it was actually Keyshawn.
No, it was me. But nevertheless, he sends it to me and says, hey, post.
Hey, would you mind posting this? No, it's like, hey, post.
So Marcellus is alive, is what you're saying.
Yes, but here's the thing. In that picture, it was Keyshawn and then Marcellus and then his old co-host, K-Dub, Kelvin Washington.
Yeah.
And you know, Sedona was like, oh, Keyshawn's posted pictures. What's going on? Because, you know, I mean, Marcellus and Kelvin had a nice run here, too, in this day part.
I would love for Marcellus and Kelvin to come back. You know, if you can give me like 7 to 10 in the morning where I don't have to wake up that early, I'm good with that.
Oh, now going after key slot. I like it.
No, I like it too, George. Actually, that would work out well for me as, you know, it'd be a nice little change of pace. I'd love to do mornings again. And then this way we're done.
No,
you know,
but not
and,
like 6, bro.
No. 7 a.m. is nice. And I think we could argue that driving patterns have changed in the last 2 years. So there's no reason to be on at 5 or 6 in the morning anymore. 7 a.m. That's a reasonable amount.
Completely incorrect on that.
Am I?
No.
Well, yeah. I'm just trying to argue it. That's
I understand.
Yeah. I'm not saying I'm right. Just saying
I mean,
that would
come
be
on,
the argument.
Chris, you'd love to be back on in the morning.
If we had a morning show, this crew and me every day, and doing some wacky bits every morning, that'd be pretty interesting.
The fun and frivolity. And then how would Mason feel about it then?
But we'd have to call it Sedano and the Morning Sound Machine.
The Morning Sound Machine.
The Sedano and the Morning Sound Machine. I like that.
I got to be honest. This isn't. I'm not trying to start a fight here, but I don't know if producer Lindsay and producer Laura are really morning drive people.
Oh, my.
What?
I'm not, and I know that Sedano, you're not. You're not really a morning guy.
Oh, he
yourself.
Used to be so grumpy.
Yeah.
Right, but I think seven is the difference there, the delineation.
I've been there, done that. I did the 5 a.m. shift.
Oh yeah.
No, 5 is too early.
Yeah, I've been.
I used to do a 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. morning show.
Yeah.
And 5 a.m. was way too early to be on the air. So from 5 to 6, we would do our show meeting on the air, or yeah, you know. Right? Because we just figured that the owner of the station wasn't up listening. At one point, it got so ridiculous between 5 and 6 a.m., we did a bit called Who's Up and Why? Yeah. And we would have people call in to explain why they're up and where they are and what they're doing. And my favorite one of all time was this guy who calls and he goes, well, I'm up because I'm a thief. And we're like, what do you mean you're a thief? And he's like, well, tonight I've stolen a guy's wallet from a bar and I broke into somebody's car and took a bunch of money out of their car.
That's
like,
hilarious.
This guy's a thief, professional thief, works through the night.
Yeah, that sounds great. Did you do a $25,000 pyramid right after that bit?
No. Actually, I did a $100,000 pyramid, and it was a monster hit. Huge success.
What
monster
happened
success.
With the pyramid, Cap?
Oh, gosh.
So here's what happened.
So fired up.
So here's what happened. Last week, when Mason and Ireland were
and
doing
by the way,
their,
we'll get to the Raider thing.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
When they were doing their three-hour commercial-free extravaganza, I want to do a game called Pyramid. And so rather than us trying to experiment with it, I thought, you know what? Let's have Mason and Ireland experiment with it. And it was a rousing success. Mason in Ireland, DeMarco Farr, everybody loved it. Everybody loved it. But you know, have you guys seen the video on Twitter that went viral last week where the guy is sitting at a baseball game and he dips the hot dog in the beer? Have you guys seen that video?
Disgusting. I saw it yesterday. Yeah, that's nasty.
Okay.
And Janice tried it yesterday. Gross.
Right. So it's
I saw Janice do it. Yeah.
So it's one of those things where when everybody sees that on social media, rather than thinking to themselves, you know, the hot dog and the beer, it's all going into the same place and it's mixing down in your stomach anyway. So the guy who takes the hot dog and dips it in the beer and then eats it, immediately the Twitter mob comes out and everybody tells you how gross it is, how disgusting it is. He should have his season tickets revoked, blah, blah, blah. Or in this case, George, blase, blase. Mm-hmm. And so that's what happened here is I did my pyramid game that I wanted to do and everybody just ragged on it because that's what they were planning on doing anyway, like the hot dog beer guy. That's what happened.
But this wasn't the social media mob. This was literally the people you were doing the show with.
No. This was you and Laura. Ireland, Mason, and DeMarco were all like, yeah, I kind of really like that as a matter of fact.
No, they did not.
Yeah, really.
They had been on fumes.
No.
They had done 3 hours and 20 minutes nonstop, and you were offering to fill the last 15 minutes.
And it was
and
really good.
And I'm not good, saying it wasn't. What did we all say, Cap? Do the bits with the Mason and Ireland are the games. They do the games. We don't need to steal their bits.
Not stealing their bits.
Although Cap is alleging that Mason heard us talking about TikTok the other day and all of a sudden they got a TikTok.
Right, that's true.
Mason did have a TikTok like, you know, 2 years ago.
He did, yeah.
Like pre-pandemic with Ramona. But then he was just like, yeah, I'm not really into it. I don't really like TikTok.
And he won't be into this either.
Yeah, he'll get bored with it. It's too much.
I wish I was into TikTok. Like, my kids make all these TikToks, and I look at their TikToks, and I go, gosh, that seems really complicated. I mean, how would I possibly do that?
You know what, Cap?
Yeah.
You know what I've got for you?
Tell me.
Have you noticed there's a new emoji?
No, tell me.
iPhone?
Love the new emojis.
I'm going to send it to you right now.
Okay.
Hold on.
I want to see the new emoji.
I'll send it to you.
Put it in the group. I need to see this.
I'm going to put it in the group.
Okay, put it in the group.
There's a few of them.
Really?
They're awesome, yeah.
Where do I find the new emojis?
Well,
there it is.
Them.
It's right just for
you.
Oh,
yeah. Hell
the
to
point.
The yeah.
The point.
Oh, that is my new emoji. I'm going to be using that all the time. That's right.
For those that don't know what the hell we're talking about, if you look at all our promotional pictures, it's Kaplan doing this funky point. And so there's now a point emoji.
Well, a couple weeks ago, Chris and I were at Black Gold Golf Course, and we were there kind of, Chris, you ready? Pressing the flesh?
Yes,
if you will.
I like how
flesh.
Chris just did the black point because he tweets as Keyshawn.
Right. Very nicely done.
I guess I need to update my phone because I'm just getting a question mark.
Yes, yes.
With the box.
If you have not updated
you
your phone,
update it.
You don't have to
avoid that as long as
I don't know
possible.
How I updated my phone. I didn't do it.
Rachel did it.
By itself.
Rachel, Scott, you need to update your phone.
Scott, if I don't see those new emojis, that is it. You've lost a girlfriend and you've lost an accountant.
No,
that will
Calendly.
Never get old. I
right.
swear to God.
I got to say that Chris and I were down at Black Gold Golf Course and we took a group photo, probably about 20 people or so.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I said to everybody, it's time to break out.
Oh,
the
I
point.
Saw it with Travis.
And,
right?
Oh, yeah. And yeah. Travis and Kirk Morrison and Chris and all the new guys who are at the station, you know, the good karma guys and client and everybody pointing. You know what? There's a certain feeling you get when you point.
Yeah. It
just feels good.
Yeah.
Does it?
Like, because it's like this. Your point kind of goes like this. If you don't say anything with it, you point, and then everybody knows what you're saying is, what's up? You know, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah.
I guess you guys don't quite get the same emotion that I get.
No. Probably not.
Like I'm in the house kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Hey, speaking of in the house.
Yeah.
So Raider fans all excited a couple of weeks ago, as they should, right, with Devontae Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's this rumor the Packers are trying to trade for Darren Waller. How does that even make sense? I know Derek Carr has since shot it down like that'll never happen. But listen, I'm a big believer, and Scott, you've been around the NFL a long time. This stuff, where there's smoke, there's fire, man.
Yeah, but isn't it kind of weird that the Packers are, the way it's been put out, the Packers have an interest in trading for Darren Waller?
Yeah.
Rather than like the Raiders have an interest in trading this particular player?
Well, they also have to pay him. They also have to pay him.
Yeah, you know the thing about Waller is that if I'm the Raiders and I've just gotten Devontae Adams and I'm trying to do everything I can to make Derek Carr like a really successful NFL quarterback who's been there for 10 years and has like two playoff appearances, the one thing I'm doing is I'm not trading away top-level talent, specifically at the skill positions. And Darren Waller's entire career, essentially, has been rehabbed. I'm putting that in quotes because I know he's got a whole background with some, you know, alcohol, drug issues, but his career itself has been rehabilitated by the Raiders themselves. I don't know why they would ever make a move like this unless it were all salary cap related, but you just got Devontae Adams. This is not the time to be getting rid of Waller. So I'm personally not buying it.
Yeah, I don't get it. It makes no sense in the world. And I mean, but again, when you have a new regime, can you really rule anything out?
Actually, that's a pretty solid point. You know, you wonder if a guy like Josh McDaniels is like, you know, he's a good player, and I get it, but he's not the kind of guy for my system, so let's see if we can't get something for him. But again, as
I mean,
good
Gronk,
as he is.
So I don't know why he wouldn't be for his system, but you know, you never know. Right, exactly. Yeah.
I just think it would be a bad move for the Raiders. I mean, there's a little bit of excitement about the Raiders, and I think it's all because of the Devontae Adams move. Yeah. Trading away your best tight end, really one of the best tight ends in football,
I don't think
it's a good idea.
Doesn't make a lot of sense in my estimation. I don't know even know where the hell this is coming from. And to your point, it does seem like a Packer initiated thing. But if you're the Raiders, you can't be doing this. Like you finally have got Derek Carr a full complement of weapons. Like now you're going to trade one of them? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and I thought if you saw what Carr said, he said something to the effect of, "Hey, look, you know they traded my best friend," talking about Khalil Mack, and he's like, "I readjusted my contract so that we can have guys like this." So
yeah. All right, we're going to readjust here. We're back in 2 minutes for Radio Tinder.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Yes, indeed. A live imaging Tuesday on Sedano and Cap.
Oh, yeah.
Around 5:30 in the afternoon. You know what we do. It's time for producer Lindsay's segment, Radio Tinder. Now, we usually do the Hill Street Blues theme song, but yesterday, Lindsay had all this shade about Hill Street Blues, so we took to Twitter, and we landed at Barney Miller. How about that, producer Lindsay?
I mean, I wouldn't call it shade. I was just stating a fact that I don't think it fits the segment because I have no idea what it is. And then Beto, like, completely unleashed.
He did. So, and then you unleashed as well.
What did he unleash? By unleashing,
Beto,
what do you
mean? Was like, nobody knows what the Hill Street Blues is. What is that? And I said, exactly. What is the Hill Street Blues? Like, I wasn't even thought of when that show came out.
Mm-hmm. But now Barney Miller
moves a little bit, though.
And so somebody tweeted at us, I guess, and suggested this. I don't
good
know.
Trombone.
No idea what this is.
Well, you don't know Barney Miller? In your
no, what is
drive.
Barney Miller?
Barney Miller was a sitcom, I want to say probably
comedic,
in the late 70s.
A comedic cop show as opposed to the serious drama that Hill Street Blues was.
Right.
So Barney Miller, now you can laugh, you're going to laugh at me, but is he the same guy that was in like that? Andy Griffith show?
No.
Wasn't there a cop named Barney in that show?
That's Party yeah. Fife.
Okay.
Party Fife, different guy. Different deputy.
Just saying.
Radio Tinder is presented by our new sponsor, Tequila Mandala. Yes. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala. You can follow her on Twitter and Instagram, at Lindsay Baseball. Take it away, producer Lindsay.
All right, so this past weekend, unhappy Cincinnati Reds fans brought their message into Great American Ballpark, wearing T-shirts, holding signs, dropping grocery bags over their heads, and even flying a banner over the stadium, calling for owner Bob Castellini to sell the team, because we all know the fans there are just miserable with the ownership.
Well, and he also called them out not that long ago. He basically said, if you don't like it, don't show up or
right.
something like
no,
that.
No, he said something like,
we'll move the team.
Yeah, right. Yes. If you understood the economics of baseball, you'd understand it's like makes no sense to even be in Cincinnati.
He said, be careful what you wish for, because the option there is to move it.
Mm-hmm. Not the smartest way to handle it, I thought, but okay.
Right. So in at least three cases over the weekend, the Reds gave fans a choice. Drop your signage or leave the stadium. So they were not allowing any Reds team slander whatsoever. But then today the team stood down and management is now instructing staff that fan messaging, quote, even if it expresses displeasure, is okay. So I want to know, do you guys think that fans or teams should be able to censor fans' negative signage from games? Swipe
as
left
long as,
or swipe
as
right.
Long as, I'm sorry, as swipe do I think they should not be able to, or they should be able
to? Do you think
to?
That they should be able to?
Oh, no. So swipe left. So the only exception to that is obviously if something is like lewd and crude, right? Or something like that. You know what I mean? Like has, I mean, we know what the acceptable language is and what isn't, right? Like I think that, you know, everyone knows what that is. So as long as it's not like, you know, some crazy incendiary stuff.
So if just a good old sell the team sign.
Right. If it's cool just that. If it's just that, then yeah, you know, deal with it. Like, don't be, don't take your cues from Jim Dolan in New York. You know what I mean?
You think anybody was watching? You think anybody in Cincinnati was like, so, sir, what's this guy's name? The owner of the team? What's his name?
Castellini.
So, Mr. Castellini, here's the thing, though, sir. We're averaging like, I don't know, 11,000-12,000 people per game. If you tell them that they can't bring their signs, now we're down to like 7,000-8,000 people. Like, let's just let them bring their signs, or perhaps maybe Castellini was inspired by Elon Musk, who has said countless times this week, even my detractors will have free speech on Twitter. And that's a whole other story for another time of the day. But, I mean, let the detractors have their voices. I mean, the Cincinnati Reds are playing right now. There's, like, nobody there.
Well, I mean, people are finally fed up with ownership. And as a Cleveland Indians fan, Guardians fan, I get it. You know, I did notice, or it made me think of, in WWE, they do the same thing. Like, Vince McMahon, you know, has a mandate. If people have signs that are ripping anything, or even if it's a joke that they don't want made, even though it has no, like, lewd context to it whatsoever, they'll come and take them, or they'll kick you out.
Yeah, but in the WWE, they don't have a problem with fans. You know, in other words, they got sold-out arenas.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
I mean, these guys, there ain't nobody there, man.
Yeah, that guy has been a complete disaster, like, these last couple of weeks. Holy moly, man.
I mean, my goodness, it looks like an Oakland A's game. There's so few people there.
They probably wore it at Oakland games.
And the Reds are like, you know, a historic franchise.
True. Historically speaking, they've been good at times.
Right.
They're terrible.
No, but my point is you've botched that, is what I'm saying. You've botched the goodwill of a historic franchise.
I mean, there's literally nobody at this game.
Yeah. Reminds me of a football team that used to be historic. But anyway, I digress.
You mean the Chargers?
No.
Where there's nobody at their games?
No.
Oh.
All right, what's
anyway,
next?
So a teenage magnet fisher pulled a safe full of cash from a river, and then he gave it back to its owner. The 15-year-old and his dad reeled in an old safe, and they were left stunned when they found nearly $2,000 cash inside of it. The safe also contained bank cards, which expired in 2004, giving the teen enough info to track down the rightful owner. Apparently, it had been stolen from a businessman back in 2000 during a burglary at his office. If you were in this kid's shoes and you reeled in a safe with a bunch of money in it, would you track down the owner and return the money? Swipe left or swipe right, Cap?
I'm going to swipe left and say no. Nah.
Appreciate your honesty.
Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is this. First of all, I've never heard of magnet fishing.
Me neither.
It's like a new craze.
Yeah, it's a new thing, I guess.
I didn't know that this was a thing. Like, you actually dip a magnet into a body of water hoping to land something metallic?
Yep.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Like, strong, heavy magnets, and people use it to get, like, scrap metals and stuff that you can get money for. Yeah,
Is that kind of the same people that used to go surf comb the beach and you know, used to have the metal detectors? Yep.
Not used to. Those people still exist, George. I was thinking more about people that jump into lakes at golf courses in scuba gear and then throw out all the golf balls so that they can have thousands of golf balls. They don't return those golf balls to the golfers who put them in the water. I would say this. If I were magnet fishing and I pull up a safe, guess what? I caught that safe. That's my money. And by the way, bank cards from 2004, there's got to be a statute of limitations. I mean, come on, 2004?
Well, I don't think that
how he was able to track him down. Because he was able to get the guy's name.
Yeah. Right, but I'm looking at it. I'm going, hey, these are from 2004. I'm not doing anything with this. This guy's long forgotten about this $2,000.
It doesn't matter when it's from. I think if you got the guy's name, it's a question of whether or not you're going to Google him or look him up and see if he's still around.
$2,000? My answer is no.
Do you need $2,000?
Yeah, I do.
You need $2,000?
That's right.
I mean, okay.
That's right. Got three kids in college.
I mean, I said if it's like $200,000, maybe it's like, wow, that's you know. Even $20,000, that's life changing, you know. And some, you know, $2,000 help you pay some bills.
But it's not, dude, that's
a lot of work to find this person.
But if you've got the guy's name right in front of you,
that's my money.
I mean, all you have to do is Google it,
right? Like, it's not that hard. It's not like I can understand you keeping if it's just the cash in there. Like, if there's nothing that a bunch of expired cards had the guy's name on it. To Lindsay's point, you just do a. I mean, we know you have struggles with Google sometimes, but, like, you know, you just do a quick Google search. You can probably find the person.
Maybe what I would do is I'd say to the guy, hey, man, I found this safe and there were some cards in there. And then if he says, well, there was also some cash in there, go, I don't know about that because when I pulled up the safe, there wasn't any cash in there.
For what it's worth, the kid was with his dad, so I'm sure that it's something to do with it, right?
Right. Well, Scott clearly would have told his son, keep it quiet, kid. We're keeping the cash.
Hey, put it in your pocket, buddy.
Yeah. Put it in your pocket, pal. That's for gas money.
So, Sedano, I'm assuming that you're going to take the other side here, right?
Yeah, I would. It's fine. If there's stuff in there that literally tells me, identifies the person, yeah, hey, man, we found your thing. The karma isn't worth it.
Well, I will tell you this. The one thing that might have me return the money, or at least try, is the story. Like, explain this to me. How did your safe get into the bottom of this
lake? Have you ever found a wallet?
I have.
And given it back to the person?
I have.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I was at a game in San Francisco, an NFL game, and I found this girl's driver's license on the ground. And I was like, oh, this poor girl. Because she was from, like, Dana Point. She was from Orange County. And I was like, this girl is not going to be able to fly home tomorrow because she doesn't have her driver's license.
It's just a driver's license, Cap. There's no money with it.
I understand. Well, that's why I'm saying. That's why I was a nice enough guy to
find
her and return it.
Did you find a wallet with money in it?
Oh, no. I haven't done that lately.
Oh.
Lately.
Okay. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So at least, so Lindsay and I are not returning the money.
I wouldn't.
Okay, that's fine. Laura, would you return the money?
Yeah, if there was the information, yeah. If not, it's finders keepers.
Come on, girl. You just got a new apartment. You need that money. Come on.
Look, I do need that money, but I'm with Sedano. The bad karma is not worth it, bro.
It's not bad karma.
I don't think it's bad karma. I think you would get good karma for returning it, but right. I don't think it's necessarily bad karma because... Well, even though all you'd have to do is Google the guy's name to see where he lives and, like, track him down and all that, I feel like it's not, because it's stolen. Like, the guy thinks it's gone. He kissed that money goodbye years ago, right?
No, yeah. You have that info. Like, if you didn't have that info, right. It's like, yo, there's your good karma for
whatever. That's where the karma comes from. Is if you, if it was just the safe with cash in it, then be like, yeah, man, what are you going to do? Unmarked bills, all right? Or marked in this case, I guess.
The lesson to the audience here is always put something identifying inside of your safes in case they ever end up in a river.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Agreed.
Good advice.
All right, so last one here. Disneyland Paris is going to launch an all-in-one Disney Premier Access Ultimate option this summer, and it's going to allow guests to pay extra to experience every attraction with a shortened wait.
Wow.
So the Premier Access Ultimate Pass, whatever it is going to allow guests to pay a one-off fee of $50 for the Fast Pass option for each of the park's 12 attractions. This, of course, is in addition to an already purchased theme park ticket, which runs you $150-ish. Are you someone who would pay the extra $50 for the Fast Pass option? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
Swipe right, because time is worth money to me. I got a fast track, okay, on the 110. So I, you know, I got if I got to zoom past from USC all the way to wherever it leaves me, dumps me off at the 91 heading south, so be it. And vice versa the same way, so be it. So I pay that stuff every day. So if I was at a theme park, which I am not a huge theme park person, I don't go all the time, then I would pay the extra money for the fast pass as well.
Tell you what I would do. I'd take that $2,000 I found in the safe.
And I, fast passes for everybody.
And I'd pay for my whole family. Which, by the way, this whole fast pass idea, they do that at Disneyland here.
Listen.
You know?
I'll be plus, yes.
Let me tell you something. As someone who just went to Disney World and they have this, you know, you so they get you with like the fast pass for the regular rides, right? And you can get like two of them at a time. And then on top of that, there's also the newer rides, the premier rides, where you can also pay another $20 for the fast passes for those. So if you're there for 5 days like we were and you got four people, it ends up costing you a lot of money. And on top of that, you have to wake up at the crack of dawn to try and make sure that you get a reservation when you have said fast pass. So it's like a whole gamut they've got going on there. It's a lot.
This is the reason I don't go to a lot of
It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot for sure. But it's worth it. To me, it was totally worth the money.
Oh, you bought it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nice. I bought it every day.
Wow.
Four people every day, twice a day. Yep, it was rough.
Wow, the family must be like, our girl Lindsay moved to Los Angeles where there's freaks and drug dealers, but she's making so much money she was able to take us all to Disney World. Wow, that's great, Linz.
Well, I mean, I did get in the park every day for free with my discount, my cast member discount.
There you go. Yeah.
And, you know, my nephew, now he's spoiled. He doesn't know what it's like, the pain of waiting in line for a ride.
Oh,
you
know? Yeah.
Right, and as a kid, I definitely remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. After the fact, I was like, oh, man, he had to wait for one ride when it was all said and done.
Kind
and he was complaining.
To be honest with you.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. It's like my son, spoiled, rotten little brat. Dad, why are we at this game and why are we not on the field? Because I'm not working this game, and so we're sitting in the stands like other people? Well, we should be on the field. I'm like, well, we're not. That's what happens when you put your kid on the field when he's a little kid. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's spoiled.
Spoiled.
All right, that is Radio Tinder each and every day at 5:30. Coming up next, let's talk Dodgers, because there's definitely a lot of good things to talk about the Dodgers. Although there was one thing in that awesome Walker Buehler performance yesterday that stood out that made me laugh out loud when I saw it. We'll get to that coming up in 2 minutes.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, now we can do it. It is a live imaging Tuesday on Sedano and Cap. You there, Cap? It's also an all-disco Tuesday, because that's Cap's favorite. And on this day, back in 1977, Studio 54 opened in New York City, Cap.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
At 254th West 54th Street. Get it? Studio 54?
Yep,
did you ever see the movie, Sedano?
Sedano.
Yes, once.
This song was the theme song, 54. Remember Nev Campbell and that... what's that guy, Ryan Philippi? What was that guy's name?
Ryan Philippi.
Oh, yeah, Ryan Philippi. Sorry.
He's Ryan Philippi. He's Witherspoon.
He's hot.
Is he hot? No, he was hot in that movie. But he got all twisted, you know?
Don't get it twisted.
It happens.
It does happen. It would have happened to Cap and I if we were at studio. We would have never made it out of the 70s.
No, man. It would have been me and you, like, hanging out with all the ball players. You know, they would have come to our table. We would have had table service, drinks, you know, and, like, firecrackers with...
Oh,
with like waitresses,
yeah.
You've had a lot of pixie dust.
A lot of pixie dust, especially upstairs with the couches.
The VIP room.
I don't know if it was VIP. I think whatever happened just went up there.
Yeah, I think that was like pre-VIP room.
Yeah.
Keep going.
How much more material do you think I got?
Running on fumes, man.
Speaking of hot guys, it's also Channing Tatum's birthday. He's
41. He is hot. How old is he?
41.
Really? That's it? Mm.
That's the one that did the dance, right? With
he was
the
in Magic Mike.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He was
yeah,
in a
he's
lot
like
of
my dream man of all the dream mans, for sure.
He's a good-looking dude. He's a hunky dude.
He
for
sure is. He had a really, really pretty wife, too. I mean, they're not together anymore, but their kids are going to be like supermodels.
And what was the name of that movie he did with Jonah Hill and Ice Cube?
21 Jump Street?
Yes. God, that's a good movie. That's a funny movie.
What? That's a good movie?
Yeah, it's funny.
I don't know about a good movie.
It it's funny movies.
It's all right.
It's funny.
What are you guys, movie critics?
Like,
oh,
God, that's a good movie.
Like, it is a good movie.
I mean, yeah,
like
you made it sound like it was like The Godfather.
Oh, really? Gone with the Wind is really good?
I don't know.
With the Wind?
That's
such a boring movie.
Gone with the Wind?
I've never seen it. I mean, I'd rather see it. It's classic. But, yeah.
Right. But you, 21 Jump Street's better. You did make it seem like it was like Star Wars or The Godfather or something.
It's better than Star Wars.
Come on.
21 Jump Street? Star Wars is terrible.
I've never seen Star Wars, Cap.
Sure I have. Not only have I seen it, Lindsay, but I saw it when I could see it in a movie theater, back in the old school.
Is that like a badge of honor?
That's right.
Well, I mean, they came out a bunch of times with those.
I was
going to
say, I saw it in a movie theater, one of its million re-releases.
No, no, original Star Wars. Terrible movie.
Okay. Also, if we were around in the Studio 54 days, Cap would definitely be the guy going to the theaters. The theaters on the deuce, you know what I mean? Those theaters.
You know that, right?
Those
You're right about
theaters.
That.
Putting the coins in the machine.
Oh, man.
Been there, done that.
Hey,
Not proud of it.
Hey,
not proud of it.
I just want to take a peek.
Yeah, I just want to know what's going on.
Rachel
in there.
Would not be having that.
Oh no, no,
no, no.
All right, Sedano and Cap continues now.
Thank you.
So Walker Buehler, what an incredible performance, huh? Yesterday,
yeah. Isn't it hard to believe though that Walker Buehler—that's his first complete game—and I want to make sure I'm getting this right because when I read that, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Is it his first complete shutout or was it his first complete game? I gotta make sure I'm getting this right.
First complete game shutout.
Okay, because I was really surprised when I read that. But I will say this, that there's a moment in this game yesterday. Dodgers won 4-0 against Arizona, and they'll play again in less than an hour against Arizona. But here's the thing, when Buehler tells Dave Roberts, mm-hmm. "I'm not coming out of this game," mm-hmm. doesn't that answer the question that everybody had the first week of the season with Clayton Kershaw? You know, for all the debate and all the argument about whose decision it was and, you know, all the baseball players coming out and saying you never take a guy out who's pitching a perfect game.
Right.
If Walker Buehler can say to Dave Roberts, hey, Doc, I am not coming out of this game, then certainly Clayton Kershaw could have said the exact same thing.
Correct, yes.
And doesn't that now tell you
yes.
what we all kind of knew anyway, which was Kershaw was fine
right.
with it?
But it's what I've told you. People don't like Dave Roberts for some reason. So for whatever reason it is, they don't like him and they want to blame him. And then there's the natural inclination that people are generally, particularly in baseball, going to blame the manager. Because baseball is one of those sports that everyone that watches feels like they could do a better job than the manager. It's one of the because you don't get very much of that when it's like a football game because football is super complex. Even basketball is so complex, not as complex maybe as football because there's not as many players involved. But like, even most people, like, they may think they know basketball, but they don't know all the different coverages on defense and all the different sets on offense. Like, they don't know that stuff. But baseball, because we all kind of grew up with it, it's a lot more of a simplistic game. The strategy isn't that intricate. It's not like chess. It's basically checkers in a lot of ways, you know, more so than basketball or football for sure. So I think everyone always just assumes I know more than the manager, and it's, like, really dumb because you don't.
It's funny you say that because I actually feel the opposite way. I always feel like, okay, look, I know I had this very, very distinguished managerial career in Little League. I mean, I realize that, you know, people look to me now and they're like, hey, the way you coach that Little League team, you must really know a lot of baseball. But the fact of the matter is, when I see managers making moves that everybody questions, I'm like, really? Like you know more than them? Because I actually don't think I know more than them. Especially when it comes to baseball. Now, in football, George, I actually do feel like I have a qualified opinion to criticize a coach. But in baseball, for all the criticism that managers get about, you know, different moves that are made, when to bunt, when to bring in a lefty versus a righty, when to do a double switch, all these kinds of things, I'm like, yeah, I didn't do that in Little League.
Yeah,
but I did have a distinguished career as a Little League manager, just to be clear.
But baseball is less complicated than football. You played football.
Well, yeah, I mean, I kind of was around the game. I don't know if I call it playing. I mean, I was kicking a football, but
right.
You know.
But you were around people who actually played the actual game, and that's
right.
complicated.
Yeah, that's right.
But you
yeah.
also said, Cap, though, that you think you said, well, I think I can make a qualified or I'm qualified to have an opinion. I don't. And then you said, you know, the baseball thing. I don't think you necessarily need to have played. I mean, you don't. You don't need to have played to have a qualified opinion.
No, not at all. What I'm saying is that when it comes to football, I could look at a game and I can pick apart what I think is where a coach may have screwed up. Whereas in baseball, I hear people complain all the time about managerial moves, and I'm like, oh, I'm always thinking to myself, so you actually think you know more than the manager? You actually think you can do it better than he can? See, in football, I actually do think there are times where I'm like, what is this guy doing? You don't kick a field goal from the 3-yard line when you're on the road in a playoff game. You don't do that. Like, that to me is where you, like, actually criticize a coach's decision. But I think, George, you're right. Most people do think that they know more about baseball than the manager does.
Yeah.
And why so many Dodger fans don't have a love affair with Dave Roberts, I don't exactly understand it.
I mean, he's as steady as a person as there is, like, in general, manages those egos so well, and he's fine as a tactician. Like, there's not that many ways to make it work in baseball. It's not like an offense in football where the West Coast offense has like 97,000 concepts, you know what I mean, to like and has like a route tree off every, you know, every single concept. You know, like in basketball, there's like nowhere near as many sets as there is in football, but there's still way more strategy involved than there is with baseball. Like, it's just mind-boggling to me that everyone just like thinks, because it's more simplistic, that they can do the job better. And it's silly, because it's not the case. A lot of baseball is become a combination of math running wild, and I understand people's pushback on that. But also, even when he manages on gut, people get upset too. So I don't even know if he can ever win, is my point.
I liked what Walker Buehler said, though. You know, he leaves the game, and you know, and the game's over, and he has a, you know, complete game shutout. And he said, and this is the quote, "The guys I grew up watching, they did that. That's what it meant to be good." I love to hear kind of an old school mentality from in the new school of baseball, to your point about how much math is involved. Because back in the old days, you know, a starter, the goal was go the whole way.
Right. Well, listen, we can continue this discussion on the other side, because there is the one thing that he did during the game, Walker Buehler, that made me howl with laughter. We'll get to that next.